With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, happy 1 year anniversary.
52 beautiful episodes.
Beautiful episodes. And now we have got the perfect guest for the perfect movie to cap off our first year. Mark, please, I'm so excited. Let the children know who our guest is.
I'll let them know. He's a co-host of the You're Making It Worse podcast. He was a writer on Broad City, and you can see him in the upcoming movie American Pickle on HBO Max. It's Elliot Glazer.
Yay. Hey, guys. Hey there. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances.
This movie got me thinking, if you can imagine, about things we can't do. Like, do you miss the gay nightlife?
Do I miss it? No.
You don't miss it.
I never liked it.
You were a part of it.
I never wanted it. Yeah. No, do I miss it? No. I mean, I have so many thoughts about this movie. Mm-hmm. The first of which I can just tell you guys. And John, I think I told you, like, I've tried to watch this movie before because I want to, like, learn, you know my history,
sure,
or whatever.
Sure, sure. Got to know the titles.
And I am so squeamish about, like, certain things, certain parts of, like, sexuality, but also, like, biology. I have, like, like a vasovagal response to, like, certain things, mm-hmm. you know? Not just, like, blood tests, but, like, thinking or talking about, like, nerve endings or, like, certain things that deal with, like, having to think about the human body, like,
your body will shut itself down.
I mean, I'm close to it, and I swear to you, like, during this movie, I told you, John, I tried to mm-hmm. watch this before years ago, could not make it through, and this time around, I was like, I'm gonna do it for the guys, uh-huh. and I stuck it out, but I found myself at a lot of different points in the movie, like, gripping onto mm-hmm. my couch, like, to keep from passing out.
So you're not, like, a horror movie fan, is what I'm hearing?
No, not at all. I like those movies that are few and far between, like, that feel like smart thrillers, like a Get Out, or, you mm-hmm. know, like, something that
feels...
How about,
feels, like, a Silence of the Lambs?
No, too much.
Okay.
Too much, yeah, I can't. I really can't.
CSI Miami?
No, absolutely. No, and it's not even, like, forensics. At this point, like, forensic stuff doesn't bug me out too much because I just know that it's a set and it's fake.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But with something like Cruise... I mean, I'll also say this. I tried to watch Cruising the first time in the same era that I tried to watch this documentary called Gay Sex in the 70s.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't make it through that either.
Really?
I could not make it through. I can't pinpoint exactly what it is, but I get lightheaded and I can't stomach it.
Is it the freedom
Well, that's what I wanted. I wanted to like feel the freedom and the free love and whatever. And like the moment they're like, you're in meat trucks and it's dark, I'm like, I'm gonna pass out.
Oh, it's like the scuzziness of it is kind of like the.
I don't want it to sound like it comes from shame. It really is about something about physicality, and like there are just points in the movie. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But in Cruising, I'm watching it. I'm like, oh my god, pass out.
Was it pretty much every time you went into a club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and like,
it wasn't when he was in the diner with Don Scardino.
Not at all. No. Not at all. That when he's in the diner is fine. Uh-huh. When he's in the new apartment building, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's the moments that feel. Like, obviously, I don't want to jump in too deep right away, but the scene where he's at the club and the guy's getting fisted, I was like, I'm out. I'm going to pass out.
Okay.
I'm going to pass out. It's just, it's just too much.
It's a whole fist.
He's got his whole forearm really all lubed and ready to go.
He's using Crisco oil.
Yeah.
I could pass. I could, like, I could get, I'm like getting woozy.
This movie did in a lot of ways make me nostalgic for New York. Like we used to live in New York and I was like, I remember New York. Even though like I was never really a part of that scene. Even though like I've been to a few clubs and some nights and stuff like that. But
yeah, but you weren't there
in 1980? No.
No.
I would hope not.
That's a different New York. This is 1981 or something?
This came out in 80, so yeah. So it's still, like, really kind of 70s New York.
Oh, my God. It's so my parents are from New York. I grew up in Long Island. And, like, oh, my God. I mean, it was just so dark. It's so dark. And it's how I remembered as a kid and being scared of the city as a kid for a lot of the reasons, you know, that you see in this movie.
Right.
It's just
so you're happy with the ascension of the M&M store in Times Square. That's a better fit for you.
Well, the good guys so won.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's like the Giuliani, like Disneyland of Times Square is gross in its own way.
Yes.
But the ability to, you know, the movie harkens back to a time when everyone had like pepper spray or they held their keys in between their, like in their knuckles.
Right, right. Just walk down the street. Yeah.
Yeah, everything was just danger lurked everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in like Carrie Bradshaw's New York, like there is no crime because there's also nobody who is
just a
Caucasian.
Fashion.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But it harkens to a very scary time. And I was too young. I wasn't even born in 81, but like as a kid. Oof, that was I was afraid of New York a lot, and for that reason.
Because of Cruising. All right.
Oh, yeah, because of Cruising.
Well, we've already, John, what's the deal with Cruising?
Let me tell you about the deal with Cruising. Cruising came out in 1980. It's an erotic crime thriller written and directed by William Friedkin, loosely based on a novel of the same name by New York Times reporter Gerald Walker. Stars Al Pacino, Paul Sorvino, and Karen Allen. It's about a serial killer who is targeting gay men, particularly those associated with the leather scene in the late 1970s. The title is a play on words with a dual meaning because Cruising can describe police officers on patrol and gay men who are cruising for sex. The shooting and promotion of this movie were dogged by gay rights protesters who believe that the film stigmatized them. It was poorly received by critics upon its release. It performed moderately okay at the box office. It earned approximately $20 million with a budget of $11 million.
And, you know, I was reading up on it, too, myself. And did you guys, I'm sure you guys did, too, but, like, people, gay and otherwise, would purposely shine lights into the movie theater when they were playing it. They would do loud noises so that it would disturb anybody who was going to see the movie.
Oh no, they would do that like on the set. Like they would show up where they were filming and put lights like on the like project, like use mirrors to flash lights on the filming so it ruined the takes. And they would like scream and yell. So a lot of the movie is overdubbed. Like it sounds weird because they had to because there were too many people screaming while they were making it.
Well, I mean, talk about the guy, the killer. It's like it doesn't even sound like he's in the same on the same planet as Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Well, what did you, Elliot? Did you enjoy Cruise? What did you like? If you had to like give it a rating, what would you think? Was it an enjoyable watch? What did you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's aside from my own like, you know, basovagal response issues. I mean, I guess it's like I mean, it's, I found the movie to be kind of like a offensive in the way that it just colored gay people as this. I mean, I guess it colored the specific scene, but in general, it just felt like, it felt homophobic to me for sure. And like coloring gay men in particular as this very dangerous, unhinged group of like night crawlers. And it's, mm-hmm. and it was, I don't know. I don't think it did anybody any good. I mean, I would be on board with the protesters at that time too, probably.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, is it a good movie? I don't think so. I don't think so.
John, what did you think?
I get it. Well, I had not seen it until we finally decided we were going to do it. And then, so the first time I watched it was maybe 3 days ago. And I actually watched it 3 times total. I rented it and I kept watching it because there was so much that I was like, wait, I want to like figure this out. And like, because there was so much that was confusing. It's
very much.
And funny, like in watching it, I don't think... I didn't find it homophobic. I don't think like it understands or really tries to like really get into the subculture of that world, but I don't think it judges it necessarily. However, I think the problem is that it doesn't really satisfy in two different major ways. Like it's sort of set up to think like, all right, here's this sort of like whodunit, like who's the killer? Are we going to find it? Like that sort of thing. But it doesn't do that. And partially because William Friedkin made all these weird choices of like different actors are playing the killer at different times and different voices. And so that was part of the reason why I was like, wait, I was very confused a lot.
Me
and
then too. I'm still confused.
Yeah. And then it also is not clear about like what Al Pacino's character's journey was through this. You know what I mean? So it doesn't give you like a clear, satisfying, oh, here's the sort of like crime drama of it. Nor does it give you like a satisfying, clear sort of emotional journey. So I think where it fails is not so much in homophobia necessarily, although I think it could like, I feel like watching it now for the first time, nothing seemed that shocking to me. Like we have seen much worse and much more graphic. So in that way, like I imagine
in
1980, exactly. I've been to those nights. Like in 1980, it was probably much more scandalous. It didn't feel like it was necessarily scandalous to me. But it felt like, oh, it was a failure in that he was trying to be ambiguous about it in too many different ways. I feel like he could have been ambiguous about Al Pacino and his journey if he had a clear, here's the killer. Or it could have been this weird sort of like, the killers are lots of different people and stuff like that if it was a clearer thing of, oh, here was what Al Pacino's character's journey was. But since both of them were vague and ambiguous, I think it's ultimately unsatisfying. That's my meta take. Mark, what did you think? what did you say?
Oh, go ahead, Ellie.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes I'm very bad with like comprehension, truly, like very bad. So like, is the ambiguity of his sexuality a thing?
It seemed to be like he was being like, Al Pacino was slowly being corrupted by this world. Like it was like, he was like, it was like taking him over in some ways.
Yeah.
But was he sexually interested or like, was there a hint of that or was it just more?
I think.
Couldn't tell you.
I think that's what's sort of meant to happen. I think part of the problem is we didn't see him and Karen Allen, who plays his girlfriend, who is even less developed than any of the other gay characters in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have a sense of, like, their relationship was this, and then he started going to these weird S&M clubs, and then it got bad. Like, we know that, like, he would, like, had to think about, like, their sex was awkward. So we didn't, that wasn't quite clear, and it's not sure at the end if he's like, oh, no, this either, like, made me realize something that was true about myself, whether, you know, the movie's trying to say gay people are vampires and he suddenly got, you know, like sucked, they totally sucked the life out of him, sure. The heterosexuality out of Al Pacino. They don't say, like, it's unclear. There's some people also posit that he was the killer of the last guy. You know what I mean? Like he would like that Al Pacino himself might have been one of the killers. So that's the problem is that it's so vague in so many different ways.
And you said you said that the killer was played by different actors?
Yes, and it's very confusing because, so the very first time we see someone get killed, the guy who plays the killer in that sequence is the victim in the second sequence when we see someone get killed. There's a scene where, like, a killer and a victim go into, like, one of those movie theater booths, and the actor he goes into that booth with is a different actor than the actor who is in the booth with him. And then a lot of their voices are overdubbed by the actor who plays the dad of the boy who we think is the murderer at the end, but that's also still unclear and doesn't quite make sense. So, like, I don't know if William Friedkin did that in, like, a in like a way that you would with like a play where you're just like, I just had to use a body and that's the only actor who was available.
Right.
I don't think it's
my
that.
Question.
I obviously he had a budget. he could have hired actors. So like that part is unclear. And then also the Al Pacino stuff is unclear. Partially, who knows if maybe because Al Pacino himself was uncomfortable with exploring it. It was 1980 and whatnot. But yeah, that's what's so confusing about the movie. What I think is not good about the movie is that confusion, not its homophobia.
But I didn't personally, now looking at it now, it doesn't come off as particularly homophobic. But at the time, there was such like a lack of gay representation that this is what you give is this joyless, loveless, humorless.
Yes. Right. Joyless.
The whole thing, like I've been to leather bars and people are still pretty goofy. Like everyone's having a good time. They're making it seem like this fucking intense where there's like no actual relationship. It's like a loveless world.
Right, it's like pigs in a barn or something.
Yeah, imagine like there was never a movie about a dog ever and the first one is Cujo. Like, what the fuck?
That's perfect.
That.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the offensive thing to me was like it was presenting just this joyless, heavy, everyone's miserable. And this
miserable.
So it's all angry. Yeah, it's all aggression.
Which like sure for an hour, but then you know you get past that.
I read in one thing that like so a lot of the extras in the bar scenes, which were actual like people at those bars, but Will Friedkin said that like they were playing like even though it was these sort of like leather bars or you know these S&M sort of bars, they were still playing like Donna Summer and Casey and the Sunshine Band, like and those bars in reality. So they were like, no, this can't work. So they went out and got all that punk music and had that.
So
played.
All that music, all that punk music. I'm like, that's not what they're playing at these bars.
No, exactly. No. Yeah. But it would be funny to just have, like, Bad Girl be playing in the background. What are these scenes?
Wait, also, very important question that's central to the movie. Are we not supposed to laugh when Al Pacino does his, like, poppers dance or whatever that is?
I was laughing.
What is that?
Right, is that a thing where you, like, soak a rag with poppers? Or
there
was
is a way to
so
do that.
I was so confused.
I've heard about it. I've never done it, but I've heard that it's a thing that you can do. Okay. I've done
You've
other
read
poppers.
About
Don't
it.
Worry.
Wait, so he's sniffing a rag that's doused in poppers?
Basically, yeah. That's like a way to do it with like a spray or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know what. I honestly was like, I don't know what that
what
is.
What party drug did they invent for cruising?
I have no idea.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be. They wouldn't have video head cleaner back then, so
no,
they had to
exactly.
call it something else.
A different leather polish.
Well,
and this was pretty much like right before, you know, HIV struck.
Yeah.
So it also has that sort of creepy, like you said, joyless. The joylessness of it all feels almost eerie in historical context.
Yeah.
You know,
and
like
rude,
like
too.
People are going to be punished or
rude.
Something.
Yes. And rude.
It is rude.
Well, let's get into it, Ellie. As you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. We're going to go through a bunch of categories, and at one point, you are going to add a category, and it could become
canon.
All right, so we're all going to score it and we'll give an average. And so this is our current top five, and this is the percentage they scored out of 100%. So number five for gayest movie ever was 72.74% is Labyrinth. Number four is 76.50%. Cats, number three, was 76.52%. Funny Girl, number two, with a 78.59%. Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. And number one at 79.51%, Grease 2. Which could also be the name for this movie.
That's true.
That's true.
Before we get started, though, there is one thing. Because it is our one-year anniversary, there's one rule change we are initiating. So one of the categories is very late in the series we ask, is this the movie Cruising? And if it is, then it loses 50% of its points. But what we're going to do now is we're changing that from Cruising to, are you ready to announce this, Mark?
Sure.
Or
we could wait till the end when we.
Oh,
get
you want
to
do it to the end? All right, we'll
save
announce it at
the
end.
Save it. It'll be a fun little surprise.
Fun little surprise
about
at
this.
The end.
Yeah. It'll be an hour
exactly.
from now. Who cares?
Or we could edit this out. Who knows?
Who knows? What's
who
gonna
knows?
Happen. All right. So all right. Our first category, Elliot, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Cruising?
I mean, that is a very subjective question, but
absolutely.
I mean,
One thing that I will say this I loved about this movie, and you could tell it was like still like in the end of the 70s, was that like you had a lot of real looking people in this movie.
Absolutely.
Like all of the extras in the bar, they said, were people who normally went to these bars. And so like it, I did feel like, oh yeah, this was like walking into a gay bar looks like. We're like people who like, sure, they can have their shirt off, but it's sort of weird. And you know what I mean? Like sort of good looking.
Weird,
little,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of real bodies, a lot of real people. And in that way, it was sort of like very interesting. Like if you
real
were to make cruising today.
Real bodies are not
today,
weird, John.
You know what I meant. Not outside of the Hollywood sort of aesthetic.
Not everyone looks like a CW star.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. So it was I definitely appreciated that about it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like if we're gonna talk homoeroticism, I mean, this is definitely 100.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even homoerotic; it's just homo.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's basically porn. I mean, dangerous porn.
Dangerous porn. There's a lot of sexy, a lot of jockstrap representation.
Yeah, a lot of butt. Mm-hmm. A lot of butt looking at.
There's one shot where William Friedkin, the camera just pans across a sea of like dancing butts.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing, but wait. So Friedkin, I'm assuming, is gay, right?
I don't think so.
No, he's not. Although he also directed The Boys in the Band. But
I saw.
Yeah,
and The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
French
Connection. So the writer was gay?
He was the director and writer.
And he's not gay.
Nope. No.
That
Isn't that
is
weird?
Very strange.
I watched some like documentaries of him talking about it, and he's one of those people who is like a robot, I think. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like the way he talks, it's all very like, it's surprising he has any kind of sex.
Yeah, yeah, of course. and he might not. So,
I mean, there's also just copious amounts of gay, like, everywhere in this bar, every other person is given a blowjob.
Oh my God. So I'm like, where, what bar is, where, what is this?
Use a coaster. So it's pretty, I would say it's pretty homoerotic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I honestly give it 100.
100.
Yeah, I'll give it 100 as well.
Yeah, there's no way it's not 100. I will also give it 100, giving it 100, which is a lot better than Grease 2, which only has 91.67.
All right, it's more homoerotic than Grease 2.
All right, next category, actual gay characters. I mean, it's mostly, I think almost you could say the maybe not the major parts, but...
Well, I mean, you've got
tons of gay
characters. Al Pacino and Paul Sorvino are the
two. Well, the thing is, if you think about it, most of the characters that we focus on really are not gay.
They're the straight ones.
Right.
Yeah, they're the straight ones. And, like, I was just waiting for them for, like, I'm like, is Paul Sorvino going to call somebody a faggot? Like, is that what we're waiting for?
You know? Edge of your seat.
Yeah. But, no, I think, ultimately, I don't think most of the characters, the only real characters who were gay were either a villain, you know,
or a victim.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that being said, I think our main characters are mostly straight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could argue that maybe perhaps Al Pacino is having some sort of queer.
But there was something like he was using almost homosexuality like as an addict. There was like a feel of like, it didn't feel like an authentic, like I'm exploring my sexuality, and more like I'm exploring these like feelings of power and domination.
Oh, no, he definitely had that thing where every time I feel like I've seen straight guys like try to do something gay, like they make it very angry. Like when they make out, like it's like, you know what I mean? Like it's like an aggressive act. And so like, like him, like when that one guy in the first time, like someone in a bar touches him and he doesn't like flinch, he looks like he's going to like punch the guy. And like the last big scene at the end when they're like, what are you into? You know, a party size, lips or hips, you know what I mean? Like it's all very like angry. Like it's as if they're about to fight.
Like the cops in that opening scene or the scene where they like get blowjobs from the.
Right.
We would call them tranny
hookers is what we would call them if it was.
Well, yeah, that's if it was. But also, I'm like, those are straight actors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's, I'm looking at straight actors wearing silly wigs.
Yeah.
And the cop says, come here, let me show you my nightstick or something. Yeah. I'm like, oof, this movie.
Not very subtle.
No.
So what would you give it for actual gay characters, Ellie?
I guess I would say, quite honestly, it. 40, 50? maybe 50, if we're going to count Al Pacino's sort of ambiguity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we can go with a safe 50.
I'm going to go a little higher because I feel like there's... I'm going to go 70.
70. I'm going to go 55 because even the gay, like the one good, normal Mm-hmm. One is the neighbor, and then he just gets like brutalized for no real reason at the end.
No reason.
Just for like a shocking twist of like, oh, what is happening? What's the dream reality here?
No one's safe in the gay world. It's just
no one.
No one.
Not even a playwright by day.
Oh my God.
So that gives it an average of 58.33. That's a lot better than Windows, which only has 39.67. All right, next category, camp factor. How campy is Cruising?
Oh, campy. I don't think it's, well, I think like most camp, it's not meant to be campy.
Sure, right.
But I would say it definitely gets there to a solid 70.
Yeah, I think especially like when you consider like the special effects that happen when he does do poppers.
Oh my God.
Those are pretty campy. I think also like the blood in this movie, it was so like Brian De Palma, like red. Like it was a very
ridiculous.
Like from a community theater, from the back of the house, you could tell it was blood.
To be
like,
fair though, that was the time.
That was the time, 80s. Sure, sure.
That was the time.
Blood was redder in the 80s. We all know that.
It was dark.
Well, movie blood would, I would say. I got a list of some campy things. Oh,
let's hear
do you want to go?
No, right. Go ahead.
Okay, wrestling magazines. Wasting no time establishing that Al Pacino's character is not gay. A bar called Ramrod, explaining the hanky code, getting upset at Al Pacino for wearing the wrong hanky, screaming while working out. Al Pacino watching fisting. The floating ball test. The fact that Karen Allen is only ever seen in her apartment. Exercising in jeans. There's the vignetting of Al Pacino where the frame closes around him. The name John L. Richards being the killer's father. This super controversial movie being dramatically inert. A wicker lampshade. And then finally sitting on the top rail of a park bench. Those are the happy things I noticed.
Those are pretty good.
Very good, yeah.
Another thing I noticed as a musical theater queen,
what?
Stewie, who we think is maybe the serial killer, who is like going to school for his musical theater dissertation, had the score of Follies on his desk. And I was like, all right, well done.
Good eye, John. That's what you get when you watch Cruising three times.
Exactly. Oh, I saw that the first time. I caught that right away. Okay. You show that logo, I am going to catch it. It's pretty campy in its way. Also, even like the letters to his dad, to his dead father,
time.
Was ridiculous. That whole like sequence of like talking to him in the park.
Ugh. It's campy, but ultimately I thought this movie was like really, I thought it was almost going to be more salacious and crazy. Ultimately, it's pretty, I found it like kind of boring, ultimately. It felt long at an hour and 40 minutes to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
I thought it was pretty salacious.
Maybe I'm just jaded.
No, it definitely felt like not as, I just imagine it would just have been so different to see it in 1980.
Right.
Like it just must have been such a different idea of like, this can happen in movies where it's like, we've seen worse than this in some cases on Disney Channel shows. You know what I mean?
Now, yeah. Yeah.
Not all of it, but some of it, you know.
Also, the other thing is like when the guy approaches him about, and he's like, Al Pacino's wearing the hanky in the wrong pocket or something, and the guy's like furious with him.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'm like, really? You're that mad that he doesn't want you to like piss in his mouth or whatever?
Right, that's a teachable moment.
Exactly.
Listen, honey, let me tell you how it's done.
If you're wearing that in your back pocket.
So what, Elliot? What are you going to give on a scale of 0 to 100 for Camp Factor?
I mean, I'm going to go up to, like, I know it's not Hairspray, but, like, I would honestly say, like, 70.
70.
I'm going to go 84. I think it's pretty campy for what it is.
I'm going to go, this feels appropriate, 69.
Okay.
Give an average of 74.33. Okay, next category. Over-the-top wardrobe.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, oh my God. That is like a, I mean, it's funny because there's no women in this.
Right.
But it's quite over the top. You know, all the leather stuff is over the top. I'm going to give that an 81.
81.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of funny though, that like the leather scene like looks exactly the same now.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, this look hasn't progressed or evolved much. Like, it's still leather
just
jacket.
Just a harness, a leather jacket, the hat. That one guy.
I love when she.
Go ahead.
Are we at the end when she puts on the the jacket and the hat. Yeah. Like, and he looks at her in the reflection. Is he looking at her? Is she looking at us? Is that also supposed to be ambiguous?
That's also ambiguous. So she's actually in the other room, so he's not looking at her.
Right.
He's looking at us, and apparently what happened was William Friedkin just said to Al Pacino, I want you to shave. And then he said, like, he like his I think his direction that I've read was like, you come home, you're happy to be home, you're tired, you want to talk to your wife, and then in the midst of shaving, you look at us in the mirror. Like, he didn't have a thing. He gave it to Pacino. Everything's sort of like, it feels very like almost like second year film student of like, isn't that interesting? It's ambiguous. Yes. And you're like, no, it's just sloppy. Like, it's not actually interesting.
I definitely thought, I was hoping that he looked at his wife or girlfriend or whatever in the reflection wearing that costume and was like,
Ba-choing.
I don't know. I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm. Now she, in order to attract him, has to become this symbol of
has she been poisoned? Is she like, oh, I like this now?
I want to go fist a guy.
Yeah.
There's also that guy wearing like the light up belt. Like the belt with the lights on it.
Oh, wow. Talk about that's a campy wardrobe.
And like, just the entire leather mask.
Yes. Yes.
That was a lot.
Yes. And whatever that guy wore into the movie, the booth. The booth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That outfit was ridiculous.
The first victim had like, he was wearing like a flight suit that was just revealing one nipple.
Well, no, that was a weird, actually, I thought that shirt was kind of interesting because the zipper was like diagonal. So like it went sort of down the middle and then like almost like went to like his hip. So like
it was like a jumpsuit, wasn't it?
No, it was like a weird male blouse. Yeah.
A mouse.
Yes. It was a mouse.
So, John, what are you going to give over the top
over the top wardrobe? I'm going to give it 92.
92. Mm-hmm. To me, though, for like a leather bar, this is almost like if you walked into a real leather bar, took a photo, this is what you would see. So to me, they didn't like elevate it in any way to make it like a movie. I don't know. To like add some style or anything.
They didn't. Right. They didn't like drag it up.
Dogs. Someone's walking by. So to me, it was just kind of, I'll give it a
like
70.
You wanted Bob Mackie to do the wardrobe for Cruising.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, too, is that you think about it and, like, you know, part of this is reflected in the wardrobe. But for 1980 or whatever, 80, 81, it's a pretty bold statement to show a movie of gay men who are aggressively alpha.
Yeah.
You know, aggressively
They're
masculine.
They're not a bunch of florists.
Right, and it's the polar opposite of the boys in the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I don't know what Friedkin is going through, man. I don't know what his journey is, but
hopefully Jesus. He's come through it by now.
He's processing.
I hope so.
All right, so our next, that gave it an average of 81 for over the top wardrobe. Okay. All right, next category: drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Cruising and come away with a whole book of ideas?
I mean, I feel like both Willem and Morgan McMichaels were like, that's my aesthetic. Like those first two, like sort of like, let's call them sex workers. Like they definitely look like Willem and Morgan McMichaels to me.
But like this movie, I feel like didn't come up with that. You know what I mean? I feel like this movie's not really showing you anything you haven't seen before. Even at the time.
I would have to say the same thing. I mean, to me, if anything, I'd feel like, I feel like the most like drag you would get with it was like some like leather, you know, some like leather S&M thing that's rather boring now in drag.
I will say this. I did Google drag queen and Cruising, and unfortunately it just a whole lot of articles about alanchuck.travel. And how problematic they are. I couldn't find any drag numbers that were inspired by Cruising.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a high score for it.
If you had to give a number, what would it be?
Honestly, I would give it a 15.
I'm going to give it a 35 because it does have some drag in it. And yeah,
I guess.
And some it does have like distinctive looks to it.
I feel like the inspiration for the drag would be of like, oh, this is what I shouldn't do.
Possibly.
I should do the exact opposite of what this is doing.
Sure. It's reverse psychology inspiration.
I'm going to give it a 12. All right, next category. Scale to 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Cruising to a gay person?
Oh, my God. And 100 being the most likely, of course.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I mean, I consider taking out of the equation my own you know, squeamishness about, like, my own squeamishness and however you want to put that. I think this is pretty important viewing, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's because it's good or it's bad. It's just like this is a time capsule for sure.
Sure.
And not necessarily a
celebration.
Like a celebration. But I still think I definitely think it's important, especially understanding the context. So I would say I would say 90.
90.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I agree with you, like, in that it's not a great movie. It is interesting, and it's good to, like, know the context or know the reference. Especially now, because I have seen it, and I'm like, oh, what doesn't work about it isn't what the people were protesting about it, in my opinion. Like, that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Like, because I actually think, oh, you could remake it, and if you, like, either made the, like, the sort of serial killer aspect of it, like, something that could be followed and like, solved or something like if you made more choices and stuck to them, it could be a very interesting movie.
You made a good movie, it could
if
be a
you
good
did
movie.
This,
made
if good. You did a better version of this, it would be better, is what I'm saying. So based on that, I would recommend it. I would say 95. There's very few people I would say, like, you shouldn't see it. Like, it's like,
yeah,
one of those things
too.
Of like, it's definitely worth checking out and knowing what it is that it is. Because I also think, like, parts of it aren't bad, you know?
Yeah,
like, one thing I sort of
bad.
Liked was, and maybe it's just, like, it's less of this movie and more of just, like, the time of it, but, like, there's a lot of scenes that were one shot. Like, that scene where Al Pacino is like, what are these hankies about? And is it Booth Powers explains it to him. That's all just
Powers
one
Booth?
Shot. Powers Booth, excuse me. That's all one shot. Like, there's no editing. It's just all one thing.
Yeah, but he just walked in. It was like nothing. It wasn't like Children of Men with like a Steadicam.
No, I understand that. But still, like, if it were made today, there would be like a shot, a close-up on him, and a medium shot, and a this.
Sure.
And you know what I mean? And like,
well, it's all done digitally
just so,
now, John. They got seven
cameras.
That's
true,
yeah.
It's all just ping pong balls being painted and bouncing around.
They'd have Baby Yoda in the background.
So, like, there are some, like, good, interesting, like, things going on. But, yeah. So, yeah, I'll say 95. How about
okay.
you, Mark?
I think you could watch the first 20 minutes and get the gist and be done with it, because I don't really think this movie is saying anything, ultimately. Like, we don't
Agreed.
Really understand the killer's motivation, except daddy issues, I guess you could chalk it up to.
Well, again, that's to me, I'm like, that's the big takeaway, that
yeah.
this potential killer, it's just linked to, like, shame, daddy shame,
yeah.
that's it?
Yawn.
Because that's so predictable.
It is,
but
it's also
story.
That time, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
the same
yes.
thing with Dress to Kill, which was, like, a year or two later, where it was just, like, someone, you know, like, I felt like in the late 70s, early 80s, it was all this thing of, like, when they were 5 years old, they walked in on their parents fucking, and now they're a serial killer. Like,
sure.
everyone had some
right.
weird, like, crazy psychology.
Right.
We're all referencing Psycho. That's all we're doing.
That's right, exactly.
Yep.
But it's interesting to note, like, gay film, like, how we went from Cruising to Love, Simon. You know what I mean? Like, this...
yes, true.
Not a lot
what
of
a journey.
But I think if you want to watch an interesting, well-made, thoughtful movie about, like, the gay scene in the 70s, there's like a French one called Knife Plus Heart, which is like a thriller set in the world of 1970s gay porn. And it's like only
okay.
filmed a few years ago. So it's a recent movie. Mm-hmm. But it's similar themes, but good. So I'm going to give, I think you could watch the first 20 minutes of Cruising. You got it. There's no, you can't even spoil this movie.
No.
Right. Because they don't know
65.
The ending. No one knows the ending.
Doesn't exist.
All right. Given an average of 83.33, pretty high, though. All right, next category. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Oh, my God. I mean, even if it's from a place of... even if it's from a place of Friedkin not knowing what he wants or whatever,
yeah.
you know? Even if he doesn't know what he wants behind the camera, I mean, this movie, the last thing that was sexualized in this movie was Karen Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so this is, I mean... This is a 95 for, I mean, it's 100 for
100.
Me. It's all the male gaze. The only thing that could be more like hypersexual in the way these men are framed is porn.
Yeah.
That's
this
true.
Is basically porn with the close-ups removed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, if Ed O'Neill just was wearing a slightly tighter shirt.
sure. I still didn't know who he was.
He was one of the detectives when they went to the steakhouse and they were looking at all the knives and they're like, it's a steak knife. He was in that, and he was in the interrogation scene.
The infamous interrogation.
With the floating balls?
Yes, the floating balls and the black cowboy in a jockstrap.
Oh, and so... It's okay. And was that cowboy a cop?
Yeah, so that's actually based on a real thing. So what would happen is a lot of cops would, there was apparently a guy in a precinct, they would have like a policeman who would come in and do that. So when they were like roughing up, you know, people they were interrogating, they were like,
yeah.
If they were to be like, and then this black guy wearing nothing but a jock strap and a cowboy hat came in and hit me, people would be like, oh, well, you've lost your mind. Even though that actually happened, and then the cops would act like, what are you talking about? Because it just seemed so insane. So they would do that so that the people who were interrogated would be like, be discredited when they would turn, like, leave and then
seriously?
Say this would happen.
That's a tactic?
According to freaking
in law?
That was a tactic.
Oh my God.
Defund the police. You heard it here first.
Thank you, Cruising. The bravest movie.
John, what are you going to give this for male gaze?
For male gaze, yeah. I mean, you got to go pretty high. I would say 98.
What's keeping it from 100?
You
gave Top Gun 100.
Oh, did I? All right, yeah. I'll give this one 100.
All right. I, too, will give this 100. Giving an average of 100, tied with Top Gun.
All righty.
That makes sense. All right, next category, entrances with pizzazz. Well, are we talking about the fist in that guy's butthole?
I was going to say, like, it's not Hello Dolly, but there's its own version of entrances with pizzazz. I would give it a solid 75.
75.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super pizzazzy.
No, but its own, like, dark leather world pizzazz.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, that's an acquired taste.
Exactly, yeah. I'll give it a 77.
77. I'm going to give it a 65. It's like there's a little bit, mostly the killer's intro where you think I thought it was going to be one of the cops, but then the camera pans away and you see him enter the club.
Mm-hmm.
That was all right. All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
Oh, my
God.
There's
a ton of dramatic.
It's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, parts of the movie I literally could not see, you know.
They're in, like, Central Park, the club.
Yeah, I couldn't see anything. That for me is an 88.
88.
Yeah, I'll go 88 as well. That sounds good.
88. I'm going to go 75. It was dramatic, but I've seen better. Poison, I just watched Batman Forever, I'm poisoned right now. Yeah. So I'm not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Given an average of 83.67, all right, here's where Cruising could make up points, but probably not. Strident women.
Oh, my God.
But if you consider
strident
those
women.
Those sex workers in the opening, they were very strident.
That's true.
Okay, just... If I'm considering them, then I'll give it an 8.
An 8. I mean, that's 8% of the movie, so that seems fair. Yeah.
I'm going to go more than that, because when it comes to the women, I feel like it's them and Karen Allen.
Yeah.
Couldn't be farther from strident.
That's true, yes. She couldn't be more of a doormat until the very end.
But what a great apartment.
That apartment.
How much would that apartment cost now?
I mean, in 1980, who knows? But now, yeah, a month. I will say I'll go 33.
33. That's pretty high. I mean, more than a Star Is Born.
But every line they have is like, "Fuck you, cop." So,
I'm gonna give it a 12. They weren't giving an average of 17.67. That's the lowest in our current new batch of rank. It makes sense. All right. Next category. How macabre is Cruising? It's very macabre.
Oh,
it starts with them finding an arm in the Hudson River.
With those nails.
Yes. Those weird nails. There's that whole drawer of, like, here, body parts we don't know where they belong to.
Yeah.
There was and the guy on the cadaver.
Yeah.
Where it's like they, and again, it's like, Are we slowly, like, panning to his butt? Like, that feels erotic to me. And just from the way it's framed, but it's 100 for
me.
He's
got a great butt.
100.
Shame about those stab wounds.
Even dead, yeah. They really just make it pop. I think all that stuff, there's the fact, Paul Sorvino, when he said, like, how would you like to disappear? Like, that's pretty macabre. And also there was something that happened that I thought, oh, this is very macabre, especially for Elliot. When one of the guys was trying to pick up the other guy, he said, I've got a place, but I don't have AC, so you can't come over. And I thought, for Elliot, that would be really a deal breaker.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Well, the whole movie for me, I'm like, I'm watching the whole thing, and I'm like, everything looks so...
So sweaty.
Hot and stinky and sweaty. And it was, maybe that's part of it for me, where I'm just like, ew.
Everyone seems uncomfortable.
Yeah, ew.
And in polyester and denim and leather.
Ugh.
We've come a long way, baby.
Gross.
Yeah, I'll make it for Macabre. I'll give it an 95.
95. You gave Ginger Snaps 100.
Well,
I'm gonna give it 100. I think this movie's totally Macabre. Just the tone of it.
It's
even
dark as fuck.
There's no joy whatsoever in this movie.
None.
Where's the comic relief?
Everything is punishment in this movie.
Yeah, everyone's miserable.
Everything. Yeah.
This makes 7 looks like Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yes.
All right. Next category. Wigs. Well,
oh, wigs.
There's the two ladies in the beginning.
There's two ladies in the beginning.
With the wig technology has come a long way as well.
It really has.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't imagine any other wigs being worn in that movie.
No,
in this movie.
I don't think so.
I'll give this one also just because of the ladies in the early part of the movie. I'll give it a 12.
12.
I'll give it a 20 for those two.
20. I'm gonna give it a 9 for those two.
Okay.
All right, next category. Quips. How quippy is Cruisin'?
Well, it's got that sort of that like zingers, those cop zingers.
Like the 70s gritty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that line about what is it? Floating balls?
The floating ball test
to see if there was like living semen in his
I don't know what that meant. Yeah. It just seemed like a bullshit excuse to beat the shit out of him.
It made no sense to me. There were quips. They weren't necessarily good, but there were a lot of quips.
But the pickups, too. And it's just like, what are you doing here?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I need to be worshipped. You know, like, there was some of that going on. And also,
the cops at the beginning with trying to bust the hookers. Right, and then right. That guy is saying, come up here and check out my nightstick. Was like, oof.
Not very subtle.
No.
Romance me, why don't you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Even whatever the quality of the quip may be, it was there. So I would give it a solid 75.
75.
Yeah, I'm going to go 83.
Wow. I'm giving this a 35. They were quips, but they were bad.
They're still quips.
That's
still
true.
Quips.
How big are you? Party size. That's a quip. That's
the one,
a quip.
Where are you from? Mars? Terrific. Never made it with a Martian before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Made it. Yeah. Made it with a Martian.
All right. Next category, vibrato.
So for this one, we also say we mean like the literal vibrato as in the singing, but also like anytime there's like a little extra or a little more that they give on to a moment that you like.
I can't picture that in this movie.
Right?
I really can't. I'm trying to picture. There really isn't much of it. I mean, even like Karen Allen is like whispering the whole time, you know, and like maybe a little bit of Al Pacino's like freak out.
I think
know?
There's that. I also think like when the killer, the first kill, when he's like sort of still flirting with him with the knife and he does that weird thing on his nipple, like that feels kind of like an extra vibrato to me.
That's true. I guess if that's the case.
The popper's dance.
The popper's dance.
Well, the popper's dance was insane. Yeah. I'm going to go 60 on this.
60.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 71.
71. I'm gonna go 50. It was a little too grounded for me, weirdly enough.
You wanted an elevated fisting scene. All right, fair enough.
You know, literally.
Fair, I get it.
Get a pinball on a rack. Mm-hmm. All right, next category, footwork.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's a ton. I mean, literally, it's Cruising. So it's just the people walking by, checking each other out.
Stepping on
a boot. The guy licking somebody else's boot or something, or... I mean, that's some fancy footwork right there.
And also, for some reason, at the end, no one ever mentions it, but I noticed this on my third viewing. For some reason, at the end, Paul Sorvino like has this weird limp at the end of the movie that they never talk about, but it's very pronounced. It's definitely there.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. I mean, if we're talking footwork, this movie, for me, gets an 85.
Paul Sorvino puts in the work.
He does.
It's all,
he doesn't
it's all,
give
it's,
up.
Honestly, it's all that. It literally is all Pacino's popper's dance. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
You could call it the popper's rag.
I don't know what
rag.
That is.
The popper's rag. If this was a musical.
Literally.
I'm going to go higher than that because there's also like all those like prostitutes walking in heels and so much walking going on. I'm going to go 98.
98. So Cruisin' has more footwork than Labyrinth?
Yeah.
And Little Shop of Horrors? Mm-hmm. I guess Little Shop of Horrors isn't a big dancing movie.
It's a lot of step touch, mostly.
Not a dance.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Cruisin' a 75 in footwork.
All right.
All right, so now we're into the wheel categories. These are previous...
these are categories that previous guests have brought in, and we've put now on a wheel. So we're going to spin the wheel four times, and whatever their category they came up with is one that we're going to judge this movie on. So,
okay.
Here we go. Spinning the wheel. Non-traditional murder weapons.
Oh, I think this is a very traditional murder weapon.
Yeah, the murder weapon is pretty like what you
always
want.
A knife, right?
Yeah, there's no, it's a knife. There's not even any guns, right?
Yeah,
no.
I guess the
no guns.
Well, what about the fact that it's a steak knife from the restaurant called the Iron Horse?
That's true. It's a steak knife.
Mm.
Do you know what's also funny in that scene when they're like, "We think it's this steak knife," and then the like. Paul Sorvino's like, could you dismember someone? And he's like, it would take a while, but you could. Again, third time watching it. For whatever reason, if you watch that scene, one whole wall is just like a big painting of like someone getting someone getting surgery. It's insane.
It's a tribute to autopsies.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So weird. Oh, so weird. I mean, if we're talking, this is a very traditional murder weapon movie, so I'm going to say, we have to say zero.
Zero. Tough.
Yeah.
I feel like there's some like psychological play going on. So
what?
I'll give it a 10. I'll give it a 10.
Psychological.
You know, just sort of like, is it my dad? Is it like the murder weapon is my dad's disappointment?
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3. Give it an average of 4.33. All right, spin that wheel one more time, John.
All righty.
Non-traditional murder weapons brought to you by Brian Rucker and Aggie Hewitt.
Teamwork.
Teamwork.
Oh, my God. I mean, this movie between the cops and the fisting and there's a lot of teamwork in this movie.
A lot of people working together.
Yeah, a lot of people working together in different things. I'll give it a 63.
I'll go 67.
67. I'm going to give it a 50, just because I think it is only the cops who are doing it. Except for the fisting scene, you don't ever see, like, the gay.
Well, think about the gay, the teamwork of these gay men gathering.
That's
in
true, and creating a scene for themselves.
I guess, but
that's
they
teamwork.
To me that felt so like humorless and like unfun that it, I don't know, there was something just sad and dark about it. So,
yeah.
But that some teams are sad and dark.
That's true.
That's right.
Fine, I'll give it a 55. Bumped up to 55.
Alrighty.
All right. Wheel category number 3: teamwork. Brought to you by Lenham Parham.
Flashback.
Flashback.
The only thing that's a sort of a flashback is in that scene where Stewie, the musical theater guy, goes to the park to talk to his dad. And as he's talking to his dad, we flashback a little bit to some of the previous murders, even though different actors played that part, the murderer in those scenes.
And when they,
God, that's so confusing.
During the peep show killing, they flashback to the first murder.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's a little bit. I mean, that's probably like that's like 25%.
25.
Yeah, I'll give it a 20.
20. Oops. I'm going to give it a 12. Give it a 19. This is No Peggy Sue Got Married.
It's No Peggy Sue Got Married. Alrighty.
All right, wheel category number 4. Flashback brought to you by Ryan Meharry.
Waiting in the Wings.
Oh, there's a lot of
that. We've got Ted Bailey, who's got a play that he's hoping to get produced.
I also feel like just everybody in that bar,
is
waiting for your, like, who am I going to hook up with?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And in the Peep Show place, the movie.
Yeah. That's right. Those guys waiting.
The park and the ramble in the park.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of waiting in the wings here. I'm going to give this one an 85.
85.
Yeah, I'm going to go 80. I'm going to go 88.
88. I'll go 87. Give an average of 86.67. All right, Elliot, the time has come for you to add a category that could become canon, but in the meantime, will just be added to the wheel. So we need a category that we could judge movies.
Future movies with.
Future movies and this one.
Okay. I'm thinking about how there was a... there was something, again, because the movie, the tone of the movie kind of, it feels like it goes all over the place here and there. There was something so odd to me about the non-sexual nature of Paul Sorvino being like, let's, like, to Pacino being like, we need a guy like you, a guy who looks like these other guys. And it's like, what? I've never heard, like, what? So the sort of, it feels like there's like a, like that's like a type of cop logic that doesn't exist in real life.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So I'm going to call this false authority.
False authority.
Oh, I like that. And you feel like the more
is that the right term? I mean, maybe more like.
So like, what would you think? Like, how would you? What would be another movie that you think is like good? A good example of like why would like or how this helps figure out if a movie is gay or not?
You know what? Let me rephrase. Okay. I got to do something better. That's a little too vague. if we're gonna talk about gay movies, let's talk about hair plugs. Hair plugs, wigs. Hair plugs.
We already have wigs.
We got wigs, right?
Wigs.
We don't have anything for like.
No, oh, I know. You know what? To John's point before, real bodies.
Real bodies.
Okay.
Because you see, there. You're right. I mean, there really are a lot of real bodies. You see a lot of like you see skin without makeup. You see pimples and zits and hair. And right. So this, I mean, there are a lot of real bodies in this.
Hairspray would do very well in this category.
That's true. Yeah.
Love, Simon would not.
No.
So what would you give Cruising for real bodies?
Oh my God. 92.
I'm going 99.
99. Yeah,
just because
I'll go
Paul Sorvino is such an idealized body.
Absolutely. All right. So now we are into the bonus round.
This is the final round. We're almost there.
So for this, instead of 0 to 100, the movie won't be penalized for not hitting this, but these are just purely bonus. So we're going to score them on 0 to 5%.
Right.
So the first category, bonus category, makeover montage.
You'd think they would.
You would think.
There's like a little bit. Like there's the one scene where he does his eyebrows, and then he's
right
also like
into the scene a little,
and where he's like doing like, you know.
Oh, he's weightlifting.
Three.
3%. Yeah, 3%.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3%.
3 seems fair. I'm also going to give it a 3. All right, next bonus category: angry phone hangups.
Ooh.
I don't think there were any.
There's
John,
not.
I don't think there were any.
I didn't think so.
Everything
either.
Else is angry. But
there's
no
a lot of
hang-ups.
Like. There's a lot of things that are like a version of an angry phone hang up, and aren't an angry phone hang up. Like those nice.
Yeah, if we're going.
But yeah, there's not. There's really not.
No, there's not much phone action.
I mean, a lot of phone action.
I would say you think there would be one scene where Pacino's on a payphone.
Yeah,
and hangs up angrily.
Right.
But not so much. I guess we have to go with 0. There's not even a cop scene hanging up the phone.
Yeah, right. John.
Yeah, I'll also go 0.
Me too. And they never go once to like a leather store besides a hanky store.
Nothing.
But like, where do you buy this leather from?
He just got it in that suitcase that he was given.
Here's the standard leather kit.
Yeah.
Like a Birchbox.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next category: titular theme song.
Oh, well, it's not, again, it's like the what was the theme song for this movie? I mean, it was like intense. I'm trying to remember because you've seen it, because John, you saw it three
right.
times. So the opening scene where it's all the big letters cruising, is that song a disco-y song or more
no,
of a
punk
song? No, there
are more punk songs. I don't think there's really anything disco-y in this.
And the songs are not memorable because they're just like screaming
punk songs, right. Yeah.
Right, yeah,
throttle
yeah.
punk. So I would say 0 for this.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not even something that's like, we're cruising.
Yeah.
We're cruising. So yeah, I'm afraid we have to go 0.
0. I also am going to go 0. Shame. The Germs did a whole soundtrack, but apparently they only used one song.
Yeah, crazy.
Serious?
Yeah. You hired the
a
Germs.
A whole soundtrack for cruising?
I think they did 6 songs or something like that, I read.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's a jukebox musical waiting to happen at this point.
Yes, it really is.
All right, our next category, fun fonts.
You know what? I enjoyed the font.
There's a ton.
I enjoyed the font.
The font
up top.
Up top. I loved also like the newspaper headlines, and they were like, homo killer.
Homo killer. I was like, homo killer? Oh,
not even
God.
The New York Post would write something like that.
Truly. It was like, homo killer. I mean, honestly, I love a big font. I love, like, the way
font.
They did it up top. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 3.
3.
I'll go 3 as well.
I'll also go a 3. I love a big. People don't make big font choices anymore.
They really don't. I love big fonts.
Me too. And I cannot lie.
I cannot lie.
All right. Next. Here we go. Cheerworthy cameo.
Okay. So we got Powers Booth in the hanky scene. Also, this is something, again, musical theater me noticed. The guy in the golden shower movie scene who's like, hey, you're into this? His name is Leo Burmeister, and he was the original Thénardier in the original Les Mis on Broadway. So I saw him, and I cheered.
Thénardier.
Thénardier's here, bitches in the sewer.
I saw the dad from Boy Meets World,
yes.
And I cheered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm honestly excited to see Paul Sorvino just pop up. So for me, I would go with a three.
Three.
I'm going to go.
The dad from Boy Meets World looked good.
Yeah. And like Ed O'Neill's technically, we tend to think of a cameo as just like one scene. But Ed O'Neill's a little more than that. But it was his first movie. I'm going to go four on this one for Cheer
Four.
For the cameos. I think it's got a bunch.
I'm going to go three because I don't know who Thénardier is.
Master of the House?
I saw the movie, Mark. And I thought it was boring.
Well, okay.
All right, next category, pool trouble.
Well, they do play pool. There's a lot of pools of sweat. He and Paul Sorvino's playing pool when Al Pacino is
they play pool.
Like, I found out this, that's I found out that. He's like, that's all you found? Oh, you're in trouble, mister. He literally says that.
I'll be generous because of the billiard scene and give it a one.
One.
I'm going to go.
I mean, there's no bodies of water here.
No. It's the Hudson River.
What? The river, right.
Mm-hmm. You call that a pool, the Hudson River?
No, but it is a body of water. Let's say that. I'll go two for the pools of sweat and then playing pool with Paul Sorvino.
I'm going to give it a one.
All right.
All right, next category. Sassy best friend.
So, well, I mean,
that
I guess.
Neighbor, really.
Yeah, Don Scardino, who like went on to become like a very like famous like director. He directs tons of TV shows.
He's not very sassy, though.
No.
He's just kind of like he's talkative.
For such a gay movie, there's it's bereft of sass.
It really is. Yeah, I'm saying zero.
Oh.
The only sass in the movie was Paul Sorvino.
You got
But
trouble.
Also, what about like those two like those two streetwalkers again? They're kind of sassy.
I thought they were
They're
more shrill.
Sassy, though.
That's true. They're more strident than sassy.
They don't say one funny thing.
Uh-huh. The cop who has them who makes one of them blow him is sassier than the streetwalker.
Right. What is this topsy-turvy world?
Okay. All right. I'm still giving it a one.
One. I'm going to give it a zero. There's nothing sassy about cruising.
Okay.
All right. Next category. A bold lip.
Okay. The sex workers have some very bold lips.
That's true.
There's a lot of bloody lips.
There are bloody lips.
Yeah.
It's kind of bold.
It's still kind of weak to me. I'm going to go with one.
One.
I'm going to go two.
Two. I'm going to go one. Give it an average of 1.33. All right. Next category. Maybe you'll make up some points here. Witches. I don't think there's any witches in this.
Movie, there would only be warlocks, and there
true.
Are no warlocks
But there
warlocks
is one
here.
Moment where Al Pacino is talking with the very violent boyfriend of his sassy best friend neighbor.
James LaGrosse.
Yes. And he was like, I think that apartment's haunted. Because the last guy who lived there, he was also crazy, too. So they talked about that apartment that Al Pacino was staying in as being haunted. So there's something sort of witchy there.
Uh-huh.
Can I give it a 0.5?
You absolutely can. My computer
I'll give it a
0.5
as well.
All right. Oh, I got to do 0.0? No. Hold on.
I'm 0..
0.5. 1 second. You're doing that as well, John?
No, should I? Oh, at 0.5, yes.
I'm going to go outright zero. Okay, next category. On a scale of 0 to 5% bonus, how Korean is cruising?
Oh, I don't think I see it. I don't think I've seen it. I see a single non-white person in the movie except for the big bad cop.
Who's like presented as like a threat or something to be scared of.
A sexy
or something,
threat.
Yeah.
So weird. Yeah.
But we don't know the guy who wears the mask on his entire face. We don't know. He might be Korean, so I think we should give it a 5.
The one person of color they cast, they have him wear
a mask. They put a big leather mask
awful.
On him.
No. Awful. I'm saying zero.
I'll say zero as well.
We're in the hand-holding club. Zeros across the board.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category on a scale of 0 to 5%. How much felt is in the movie? Well, the fisting scene, someone got felt.
Someone got felt. Al Pacino and Karen Black have, like, those flannel shirts. And the guy, the Oof. Cowboy hat, that's like a felt cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like, and some of their hair looked, like, felt-ish. I don't know what was happening there. I'll give it a 2.
2.
I'm going to give it a 3.
3. I'm going to give it a 2. Give an average 2.33. All right, next category. You might make up some points here. Gay actors playing gay roles.
Oh, those extras.
The extras, yeah.
For sure.
All of those.
That's a solid 3.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3 for that as well.
I'll give a 3. I trust you guys. That sounds good to me. All right, next category.
I don't know gay people, but if you think they're gay, then all right.
I mean, I didn't have anything new to add. Mm-hmm. All right, themes of mothers. Well, there's a lack of. There's none.
No, yeah. There's only more about father. There's only daddy issues.
Which
yeah,
is
I'm gonna
weird for a gay movie. Usually, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell a straight
exactly.
Guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a 0.
Yeah, I also have to go 0.
You have to.
I have to.
I also.
You'll get mad at me if I don't.
That's right. All right. Next category. A feel song. Is there a song in Cruising that puts you in your feels?
So I did write down this. The song during the popper scene is called Heat of the Moment by Willie DeVille. And that puts you in a mood.
I mean, I'm not going to... It doesn't give me the feels, per se, yeah. But
I
there's...
Mean,
there,
it's no Tori Amos. I mean,
right, but if we're talking tonally accurate music, I mean, the intense, like, metal punk music is very much feeling. So I would even say 4.
4.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4 as well for feels song.
4. I'm going to go 2, because when I think feels, I think Kiss from a Rose. So okay. This is not
again,
bad.
Poisoned recently by
Poisoned
Batman
by Batman Forever, which honestly really holds up.
Okay.
All right. Our final in the bonus for the standard bonus categories, gossip. How gossipy is Cruising?
It's pretty gossipy. Because first of all, there's a whodunit.
Gossip. Yeah.
And then there's that scene with Al Pacino and that one bartender. He's like, that guy at the pinball machine, what's his deal? And he's like, that's Skip.
Yeah.
He's bad news.
He's a dirtbag. Yeah. Get it. Don't bother with him. Mm-hmm. What is this? I mean, I think there's a decent amount of gossip in this, even though when we think of gossip in a gay movie, it's different. But this, again, I think Cruising is a different type of animal. Mm. But the gossip in it is pretty strong, so I'm going to say 3.
Like, where's the gossip about, oh, he spilled iced tea on Jessica Chastain.
Exactly, right.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm going to go 4.
4. Now whenever I hear this category, I think of, the Gaga song Babylon, where she goes, that's gossip. It's just her defining what gossip is, and I find it delightful. So now whenever I hear gossip, I think that's gossip. So I'll give it a 4 as well. All right. Next, second to last category, you get a 15% bonus if this movie has a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
Oh, my God.
So this is 0 or 15.
It's one or the other.
0.
I think
zero.
You say 0?
I say 0.
Really?
Because it's not positive. It's dour. It's dark. It's
positive.
Depressing.
No, it's dark. Macabre.
No one's having fun.
Don't.
Dangerous.
No, they don't,
joyless.
But they don't.
Does one
say
gay person
bad.
Ever laugh in this movie?
They infer. I mean, I think with the interesting thing about this movie is like whether or not you see that they're inferring that being gay is bad or that it's. They're not, and Friedkin is just telling a story. You know, it's like,
right.
Is there some sort of latent homophobia or homoeroticism in this? Like, I don't know William Friedkin, and if he's straight, then I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But I don't feel like it's a very...
There's definitely...
I get what you're saying. There's a sense of, like, if you just came out, you wouldn't show this movie to your mother to be like, see,
no.
I'll be fine. Yeah.
I've been out for years, and I wouldn't show this movie to my mother.
I mean, when we were talking about recommending this to a gay person, yes, I would say, to most gay people, I'd say, watch it, but... You know, with a disclaimer that, like, it might make you feel bad.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so for me, it's a 0 for me.
All right. Yeah. I guess I'll go 0.
It is also a 0. Also, because, like, just because it's the leather scene doesn't mean it has to be so heavy.
No.
It's, like, not even representative
exactly.
of the leather scene.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why can't they be singing some Jerry Herman when he walks in?
Nobody's nice.
Nobody's fun.
Yeah.
Nobody
no one's
smiles.
Like, oh, it's cop night. You forgot to wear your cop uniform. Which
oh
was
my
ironic.
God, they want to
they
throw
were just
him
like, get
out?
The fuck out of here.
Rude. Okay. So finally, this is the category that's been an
this
update.
Is the category.
This used to be
yes.
Cruising. -50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not be penalized 50% of its score.
Okay.
What is Boat Trip?
That is a movie that came out, I don't remember, it was like,
2000s?
It's basically a gay panic movie, came out in the 2000s,
oh,
and it
no.
takes place on a gay cruise.
With Cuba
like,
Gooding Jr.
Oh, Horatio
no.
Sands and Cuba Gooding Jr. accidentally get booked on a gay cruise.
Oh, wait, and it's And that's a different movie than the one
I now
pronounce
you Chuck and Larry or something like
I
that.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, which yeah. I have
that's
seen.
That's Adam Sandler,
yes.
right?
And
yes.
Kevin James.
And Kevin James.
Oh,
I've
gross.
Seen the 3-hour cut of that movie. So
there's
I used to
a
work
three
at a
hour. Cut?
Well, I worked at a trailer house, and like they would just send us like the footage, everything they had, essentially, like before they edited it down. So I had to digitize it multiple times back in those
oh my
days.
God.
So I've seen the 3-hour cut multiple times.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
The biggest offense. I now pronounce you Chuck as Larry. Is like someone comes to like a gay bar and like is an asshole, and they cut to like a drag queen crying. I was like, a drag queen would be out there throwing punches.
Yeah.
Like this is.
Also, no,
do you know
no
nothing
gay
about
guy.
Stonewall? Yeah.
And also, no gay guy named Charles is going to go by Chuck.
No, never.
Ever.
You. Ever.
Okay. So, finally, out of a total possible 2,320.25 points, Cruising has scored 1,601.25, giving it an average of, appropriately, 69.01%.
Yay!
Making it the 11th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Muppets Take Manhattan, but gayer than Meet Me in St. Louis.
All right.
All right. That's wow. That's quite... Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not more gay.
Well,
based on our own scoring.
I think perhaps if the wheel had gone a little differently, it might have been better for us.
Like
sure.
At this point, there's only 10 points difference. Like, this is 11th at 69.01, and number one is 79.51. So, in a way, we're splitting hairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And which movie is that?
Grease 2.
Oh, Grease 2, right. Did you guys, have you watched Hairspray?
I've seen
we
both
have not,
of them, yeah.
We haven't watched it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm so... It's just I saw it like just come up in like my Hulu menu or whatever, and I'm like I had to go and just look at John Travolta.
Oh, that one.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
No.
I don't know if it's CGI.
No one does.
I don't know if it's prosthetics. I don't know what sexuality he is. I don't know if he's trying to deflect or in. I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, and he's the only one who's got that accent, which is sort of like a weird Baltimore accent.
So weird.
Yeah,
he's so weird.
But you know, we celebrate him getting rid of the hairpiece. He's embraced
yeah,
his truth in so many ways.
That's true.
But
just not all. Not there's just one way he has.
One other thing. Just admit, Broken Arrow is not that good.
That's it.
That's all we're asking.
Elliot, that's it. Thank you so much
that's
for
it. Thank
doing
you so
it.
Much.
Oh,
this
was so
we
fun.
Did, this was our 1-year show. We thank you so much for being a part of it.
Yes.
My pleasure. Thanks for having
thank
me.
Thank you for putting yourself through that and potentially passing out.
Only for you guys, I would.
Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
I have a podcast, You're Making It Worse, that you guys will absolutely be on in the future for sure.
Yeah,
and I think
if you like this
like
podcast,
it, so
you will love that podcast. You guys just had
it.
Your 2-year anniversary.
It.
Such a fun,
we
great
did.
Podcast. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Great. Well, then, thanks again, and
we'll be right back. We're back. Wow. So it's been a whole year. We finally got to Cruising.
We're finally cruising.
We're finally, finally we cruised.
Guys,
we cruised,
we did it. And now we're settling down.
We're settling down. So now that we've seen it, what did you ultimately think of Cruising?
I don't think it's like a hateful movie. I think it's a boring movie, but I also understand at the time how this would be offensive. If like it's a desert of representation and this is what they give you, it's like, fuck you.
I totally understand that feeling, but there is a part of me that's still like, well, it's not like if Cruising didn't happen, a different movie was going to happen. Like, I understand the feeling of like, we're in a desert with like representation, and so why this was chosen. But I almost feel like it's not Cruising's fault, if that makes sense.
I mean, somebody wrote that script. Somebody
William
directed
Friedkin
it.
Did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
you
I mean, it's
I mean?
Not like, but
someone
it's not like,
it.
Oh, if that movie didn't happen, we would have had like a happy gay movie. You know, it's not like the choice was between.
But
the
in some
sort
ways,
a
no representation would be better than negative representation.
But I don't think it's negative representation.
I think it was negative because it was so dour and glum and joyless and not true, not accurate to how people actually live their lives.
But like I felt.
Because this is a mainstream
movie. I agree that
it's
not how people live their lives. It's not the totality of people's lives. But there are clubs that are like that. Like, I've been to clubs that are like that and have nights that are like
that. But even those are more fun. But also, if you don't, you know that because you've been to them. But if you're, you know, your parents don't know that. And that's who this movie wasn't for us. It was for the straights.
Right. I understand
that. To, like, leer and, like, look how weird and dark and weird this is. You know what I mean? Like, look how crazy this is.
I still think it's not as, like, but I don't think that's necessarily his job. Like, I don't think he has to be like, this is a completely fair, like, I understand, like, the argument of, like, it's not his community, so it'd be very different if someone from that community was making this movie. But, like, it's not his, like, he's just telling a story against using this backdrop, but I don't think he made people, I don't know. There's something about it that felt like, yes, this isn't the best of people, this isn't the best representation, but it didn't feel like he was shaming them, except the fact that it was so ambiguous at the end. Like, I think there is something interesting about the idea of, like, oh, there are multiple murders, or, like, maybe if he wanted to go this route, because so many of his choices were so bizarre and seemed very intentional, but they didn't seem thought through other than, oh, it's weird if we have a different actor playing the murderer in each scene. And sometimes it's the person at the end, and sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's that person. Sometimes it's a different actor's voice.
Yeah, like, but what is the point that's being made? What is the point?
Exactly.
Of that?
I think, but I think the crime is not in that he was being bad about the subculture so much that it was he was doing lazy filmmaking.
Well, this is what they mean when they say this is exploitive. They're exploiting a gay subculture to make it prurient and, like, weird and crazy, because there is no story there. So really the only draw to this movie is the weird subculture, which isn't weird as the movie
right, but I thought, but I think you could rewrite that script and make it an interesting movie. Like, I thought,
and
it could
true
have
of
been
every bad movie,
as,
though.
Yes and no. But I mean, like, to me, this seemed like it wasn't that far away from being something as fun as, like, A Basic Instinct, or, you know, or could
another
be like
problematic
a longer
movie that was protested by LGBTQ community.
Yes, but at least that movie felt like, oh, we know who the, like, that felt more like a.
I mean, that's a better made movie, no doubt. But it's
in
also
some ways,
not representative of, you know, a subculture.
Right. But I don't know.
Cruising's
bad.
Yeah,
I actually thought, I didn't think it was bad.
I wasn't offended
so much as
I
thought
by it,
was, like,
but I would be offended if I was back in 1980. Of course, it's a, I'm glad people, like, tried to fuck with the production of it. I think that's amazing. You know?
Don't you think that's weird just because they didn't know what the movie was? Don't
but
you
they
think
were right. Once you see it, they were right. I think they were justified. The truth bore
no,
out.
I think a lot of them were saying that, like, I disagree. I guess we disagree on that part. In that, like, they were saying, like, I think a lot of people felt that this movie was going to be like Al Pacino experiences this homosexual lifestyle and becomes a psychopathic killer, which is not what happened, even though it ambiguously could be what happened.
I think it presents the gay lifestyle as dark, sad, and depressing.
Well, I think it depicts
so there we go.
Part of it. So there you go. But I'm glad I finally saw it.
like I said, watch the first 20 minutes if you want to see any of it. You're fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, we've got
it's been
some
a year
fun
of bickering.
It's been a year of this bickering. Is this what you want more of, people?
I hope so.
Because that's what you're getting. We've got a review here from Breezy Bobeezy. Gives us 5 stars. Silliness taken seriously. And they write, I take such delight in the fact that this podcast takes a completely absurd premise, finding the gayest movie of all time. That's not absurd. And uses a very complicated mathematical system to get to the bottom of it. Notable favorite features for regular listeners include, but are not limited to, Mark's exclamatory shock at some of the other people's ratings, John constantly stretching the definition of what constitutes a mannequin,
true,
and everyone involved constantly trying to suggest that every soft fabric might just be felt. I only wish I was famous enough to be a guest, because I've had the same movie on my mind since episode one, and it would slay. I wonder what that movie is.
I wonder
is,
what it is.
Easy. Oh, my God. Something that would slay.
Thank you for listening. What nice things to say.
What a lovely thing to hear. Yes. So that's what we've got right now. Thank you guys so much for listening for this past year, these past 52 episodes.
It's
however
been
long
a
you've
journey.
Been there. It's been fun. When we first started doing this, we were going downtown. Now we're just all in our own little holes.
It's very weird. It's been a learning curve.
Weird.
We get used to one setup, and then it changes in 3 months is how it's been. Mm-hmm. But thank you for writing it out with us. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for communicating, for listening, for downloading.
Yes. If you have anything you want to let us know about, any thoughts or ideas going forward, you can email us at twooldqueens, it's spelling it, twooldqueens@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. You can also follow me on Letterboxd. It's a fun app where I maintain the rankings. You can see the master list of all the things.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, and we do know our movie for next week.
Yes, for next week.
It's the Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence vehicle, Life. I've never seen it.
The perfect follow-up to Cruising. I have not, so here we go.
You know, it's more Law and Order, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's it for us. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye. You made me do it.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.